Some of you would have heard of Shane Mosley. He danced around for 18 minutes during the course of the week in what was called a fight. He found that a fight worth fighting this week. He didn't do it 3 weeks ago because he hadn't been given sufficient money. For him, a fight worth fighting is one where he gets a sufficient fee. There's a young man called Billy. He's been fighting for the last 2 weeks. He was fighting to play a game of football. He was playing a World Cup final, which he played in last night, and won for Australia. What's a fight worth fighting? What's a fight worth fighting for? There's obvious... There's a lot of fights that people fight. I think some of them are obviously fairly self-centered. Maybe the fight where we're fighting to get fun and excitement in life, or fighting for pleasure. We're fighting to be part of a crowd, to be popular, to be accepted by others. And we'll scrap and claw and fight so that we're received by others in a certain way. We might fight for the quiet life. Fight that my life will just tick along quietly and peaceably, and I'll have the things in order the way I like them and quite happily doing my thing. I think they're fights that we often fight. I think they're fights that ultimately are self-centered. They may be nice and they may be helpful, but ultimately they're self-centered battles. Are they ones that are worth fighting for in a big picture sense? There's other fights that are more service-oriented. Daffodil Day. That's research worth fighting for, isn't it? Cancer research is worth fighting for. There's White Ribbon Day. That's a cause worth fighting for, to put an end to domestic violence. However noble the cause may be, for the people of God, they are not the primary fight we are to be engaged in. They are not the primary things we are to fight for. And Jude helpfully takes us back and shows us the fights we are to fight as our primary fights in life. The beloved of God, those people saved by faith in Christ, those who have been adopted into the family of God by faith, that faith is the primary thing that we are to fight for. The people of God are to fight for the faith they have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are to fight for that faith that He brings. Now, many people will fight for their family, fight for their loved ones. The Bible is very clear, this fight for the faith in Christ is more important than the fight for family. This fight is for eternity, the eternal well-being of people. It's a fight for the truth, the honor, the glory of our Lord and Savior. So the question is, if you are one of the people of God, if you are someone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus as a Savior and Lord, how do we go about this fight? Well, first of all, we fight against scoffers. We fight against scoffers. Who are the scoffers? They're the ones in verse 18 of Jude who are following their own ungodly passions. Right? People who've set their mind on earthly things, and they may be good earthly things. Like the cancer research or the campaign against domestic violence. But it's also includes some of those selfish things like money and pleasure and success and popularity. The scoffers are those who have their minds set on earthly things. The people of God are to fight against this. Fight against these people. Why? Well, Jude tells us is because they divide. They divide. They cause divisions. Now, sometimes it's like a big right hook that bang and there's a division. Hard, fast, and obvious. But more often, the division comes like a series of body blows that just sort of eat away, sapping your energy, wearing away at you, distracting you, drawing lines. You know, maybe that sort of passive-aggressive behavior. It can be the quiet refusals, the ignoring, the prioritizing of the good over the best, the prioritizing of my passions over Christ's passions. Verse 19 says, people like this are worldly people. They are devoid of the Spirit. In them, the way of the world reigns, not the way of the Spirit of God. When the way of the world reigns, it means sin reigns. It means I come first, not others, not Jesus. And I coming first is all well and good, as long as you all think that I come first. The problem is that you don't all think I come first, do you? You think you come first. Guess what? We're going to have a fight. Because we all think we're more important than each other. That is the way of the world. It will bring division. It must bring division. My way is against God's way, and it is ungodly. And Paul says, fight the family of God fight. Fight for the faith. Verse 20, but you, beloved, you who have faith in Christ, you who are united with Christ by faith, you who, verse 20 says, are building yourselves up in the faith. Right? And that's a you plural. That's you as the church, you as the people of God, you who are building yourselves up, you team of disciples. Right? We all need to be contributing to the spiritual growth of the community. Right? All of you together, you who are building yourselves up in the faith, you who are praying in the Spirit, which I think is simply praying in accordance with, praying under the instruction of the Spirit. And that instruction comes from the Bible. That's why we keep saying, read your Bible, say your prayers. You want to pray in the Spirit? Know what the Spirit's saying to us. The Spirit's saying stuff to us through the pages of Scripture. Read your Bible, hear what God says to you by His Spirit, and respond to that instruction in prayer. And so Jude then is presuming this is what you're doing, that together we're working to build one another up, to mature one another as disciples, that we're praying in accordance with the Spirit. He says, he gives us four moves. If I want to keep playing the boxing thing, four punches to throw in fighting for our faith. How do you stay in the fight for the faith? Well, we do it by keeping in the love of God. If we're the people of God, if we're in the business of building one another up and praying in the Spirit, we fight for the faith by keeping in the love of God. Verse 21 talks about waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus that leads to eternal life. So this is what separates fighting for the best from fighting for the good. How do we wait for this mercy? Well, we receive the promised gift of God. You have been saved by faith to be a child of God. Take hold of that promised gift. You are a child of God. You are part of His family. And when He gathers you as one of His own, He gathers you together as part of that family. And so we fight, we take hold of that, and we work together in that family to build one another up. Take hold of the promised gift. Set your mind on the heavenly reality, not the earthly reality. See, the Apostle Paul says, we have a hope in God that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust in Acts chapter 24. We have an eternal future, eternal hope. And so though we want to support and encourage and even be involved with good things in this world that make people's lot better, the primary thing that we're concerned about is the eternal future and the eternal hope and the resurrection on the last day. So people of the faith, keep in the love of God. In this place, in this household, in this family, where Christ, the risen Saviour, is the head. And we do that by knowing His plan, knowing His promises, keeping on listening to the words of our corner man, of the Bible. Keep trusting those words and living them out. Keep in the love of God. Second thing, we fight for the faith by having mercy on those who doubt. See, as part of the household, we're part of a household of imperfect people. There will be disputes. Some will doubt the wisdom of God's word. Some will doubt the call to repent when they're rebuked by one another, by someone else. Some will doubt the correction to their thinking that you give to them or that the Bible gives to them. We're going to fight for the faith. We're going to fight to be building one another up. Be merciful to them. It's a common struggle. We all like to justify our actions. We all like to justify our behaviour. And often we do it by clinging to part truths. We've got this bit right, but we've missed this part. Be merciful to one another. We're building one another up. We're building one another up as the people of God, together making disciples. And I need to be merciful to you, just as I hope and pray you will be merciful to me as we seek to grow together. Have mercy on those who doubt. But also, save others out of the fire. See, sometimes our building up goes beyond warning and being merciful. Sometimes we've just got to grab someone and drag them away. Someone steps out onto the road with a bus bearing down on them. Excuse me, Anne, I think you might want to step back from there because there's something coming. No, you grab her by the shoulder or arm and rip her out of the way. Right, there's no time for gentle persuasion and correction. There's a whopping big bus that's about to bowl someone over. Get them out of the way. I think that's the image we get there, snatching a stick from the fire. You snatch it out before it burns. You know, as I've been thinking through this passage and these words, I look back on 25 years as a Christian, and I think there's times where I've let people just slowly be burning away. And I haven't been bold enough to grab hold of things and say, hoi, get out of there. To say, no, you've got to pull your head in. You've got to change your ways. That is not helpful. This is a bad way. You're going down this path. In hindsight, I would love to have grabbed them. Now, who knows what might have happened or how they would have responded. We've all tried to, many of us, or I think all parents have tried to grab a child and move them away only to be shook off and carried on, or we've been the child that's done it. And for some of those people, I think I may need to revisit. There's phone calls or visits I might need to make and lay things on the line and try and snatch them out of the fire that they're currently burning in. That's part of building ourselves, building this body up together in Christ. And friends, we can only snatch people from the fire if we engage with them. If we engage with them. See, why is church important? Why are Bible study groups important? So that we can be snatching people from the fire. So we can be showing mercy to those who doubt. See, who is it that's indulging in sinful behaviour? Don't sit back and hope that they come to their senses. Pluck them from the fire. Don't let it go on smouldering away. Who is in with the wrong people? Be the right crowd. Gather the right crowd around them. Change your ways so that you can include them. Open your home, open your life. Snatch them out of the fire. Who is it that's in danger from false teaching? We ought to correct them. Maybe something's a bit fishy and you need to check with someone who knows more than you to try and work through it. do that. Together, we want to build one another up in Christ. But we can only be together if we engage with one another. My notes say engage, engage, engage. We've got to be building those relationships. So important on having mercy on those who doubt and saving others out of the fire that we take notice. That we take notice of one another. If someone takes notice and they change their ways, how good is that? How awesome is it? And if they change their ways and they join us in building up, rather than being this weight that neutralizes the church, or being this, or even being worse, being this thing that is destroying the church and our witness and our growth. The fourth thing there, show mercy with fear. Again, it comes off the back of engage, engage, engage. We can't be fighting for this faith if we're not engaging with people. We have a faith worth fighting for, but we fight with fear because we know the danger of sin. We fight because we know that the end point of sin is destruction. And we fight because we know the end point of faith is salvation. So we fear those who continue in sin, particularly those who refuse to repent, who continue to justify their ungodly ways, who continue to carry on in their arrogance. But we're merciful to people. We show that mercy, aware of the horror and danger of sin. You see the last part of verse 23, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The flesh is always contrasted, the way of the flesh is always contrasted with the way of the Spirit, which is where we started, isn't it? Building ourselves and praying in the Spirit. Spirit always contrasted with the flesh. So we need to hate the garment stained by the sinful life, the life apart from the Spirit of God. We need to maintain a horror for sin, not be contaminated. But as we do that, don't run away from the sinner. Don't run away from the sinner. Fear the sin, but don't run away from the sinner. So as people who have faith in Jesus, we're called to be salt and light in the world. We're to flavor the world. Don't lose the flavor. Don't let the light be put out. Don't be contaminated or neutralized. But show mercy, longing for the salvation of others. Because friends, our salvation in Christ is so glorious that it is worth the fight. It's worth pushing those personal boundaries. I know it is hard for some of us to reach out to others. But don't stop fighting to reach others. I know it's hard for some to be merciful rather than judgmental. Don't stop fighting to be merciful to others. I know it's hard for some to give of themselves, even to the church, even to brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't stop fighting to be building us up. It's why God has put you among us, to build us up. It's why you are here. God has chosen you, made you one of his own, and he's gathered you with us to build us up. It's not just the job from the front. It's us together. Salvation in Christ is so glorious that we push ourselves. And it's worth pushing personal relationships. Eternity hangs on it. As a society, we may cure all sorts of diseases that we have, and God willing, there may be many more cures. We may see a decrease in domestic violence, and we pray that that may be the case. But above all, we ought to pray and build ourselves up that many, many more people may be saved by the faith that Jesus brings. And he brings that faith through us, his adopted children, his royal priesthood, the people who belong to him. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep us from falling, that same one who will present us blameless before the presence of his glory, God our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord, to him be all glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. That's worth fighting for, isn't it? That's worth fighting for.